You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We have crawled in here as a show today. We have been decimated. Whittingham out. Jessica out. Billy hasn't felt well all week. Roy was dehydrated, and he thinks it's because life is hard, but it's just because he drank too much.
Life is hard.
Has something to do with the air, I think. The
and,
air conditioning.
And now the air conditioning is down in here, so it feels swampy. And we are raising money today. We are live today in order to raise money in what can't be called a telethon because we don't have any working telephones around here.
We're raising money for a new AC? I mean, how about that? Is that what we're doing today?
We might need to take some of the excess.
ACLS, a little combo situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Billy. Yeah.
It is really warm in here. This is the worst of the last 3 days, right? It's been swampy. Summer's coming. The terrible weather is coming. And the Clevelanders falling apart. It's physically falling apart. There are wires everywhere. We're afraid of flooding. And we get our thon kicked off correctly here today. Where are we on raising money for the audience that does not know? We're not going to stop at 44,000. We put the goal modestly because we want to help with one wheelchair. The wheelchairs, for those of you who don't know, Tom, I don't think we've explained this. The wheelchairs help with communication late in life. The wheelchairs are vehicles that change. They're that expensive for a reason.
Yeah, they're $80,000. Most people can't afford a wheelchair, a motorized wheelchair to get around. Get your independence back with ALS because it is a disease where your muscles shut down. You can't walk. You can't move around, and it really, really strips you of your autonomy. But wheelchairs do give you back that autonomy and independence, and we are trying to raise $44,000 to give a wheelchair to a person of need in the South Florida area who has ALS, and it's just going to – the hope is that we raise enough money, we get that wheelchair, and we're going to raise money for several other different ALS organizations that are close to our heart, and I'm really excited about. We have cleared – $30,000 already, and we haven't even started our telethon.
Who are the leaders in the clubhouse?
Wow. Like
the
big,
but it's
big
not
donations.
A telethon. It can't be called a telethon. It's only a thon.
Yeah.
It's not a.
Yes.
We're not
it's
having
a
anyone.
Pot-a-thon.
Now, Chris asked a very good question, Tommy. I'll just remind you before you reveal that, I told you to keep my donation private, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, it's, right. So you don't want me to list you number one on the biggest donation?
Chris Cody, you
feel
just.
Free, just don't give
Chris
me amounts,
Cody,
okay?
You just witnessed. An extra schmarmy tell from the old lying master there when he called him Tommy.
Yeah, I was like, what is
here
that?
Comes the scheme when he throws when he's in a little extra
Tommy
chummy.
Boy.
No one calls Tom Haberstroh Tommy, but when he comes in with a Tommy, there's an agenda, there's an angle. I'm going to be extra chummy because this MY at the end of this word is going to make Tom forget all of my evil before this.
I got you, Stewie.
Thank you, TH.
We're having a bit of a struggle, Dan, because this is our first official thon. We did raise money last year during Freedom, but it wasn't an official thon. And one of the things that we're kind of struggling with, not raising money, that's doing great so far. If you go to worldofsui.com/Lulapalooza, L-O-U-L-A-P-A-L-O-O-Z-A, I'm sure you remembered all those letters.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you can donate money there. You can get tickets. You can watch the Marlins game with us today. Yeah. We're going to be doing a little thing at the bar before the game at the Bacardi Bar in right field.
You've been really nebulous with that. A little thing at the bar.
A little thing at the bar.
And then you wave your fingers at everybody. I don't know what you're promising. Yep.
Yeah, the Bacardi Bar. A little thing. Yeah, 5:30 to 6:30 pregame. First
pitch,
6:40.
Are there liability issues? Is this what the problem is?
We're just doing a little thing at the bar. Here's the problem, Dan, and here's my problem. And I'd like to see if you guys can help me with this. A number of things. One, we need to kind of figure out. We never really kind of pinpointed what we were going to do to kind of motivate people to be donating
today. Yeah, this enrages me that you guys have all year to prepare for this. It enrages me that you arrive at a place.
We're doing great. Today's not a day about rage, Dan. Today's about happiness and raising money.
Haberstroke comes in here today and says something half-assed, like they're going to throw pies at my face every $2,000. I'm you guys just went to Publix with an idea and bought like 9 pies and that was the big plan?
Well, peppers are off limits.
Yeah, peppers are off limits.
Yeah, you safe there.
Exactly. Handcuffed here.
You struck the whole idea of me eating peanuts yesterday. We were going to do peanuts. I was going to eat 2,130 peanuts in honor of Lou Gehrig, who played $2,130.
That's the thing. Yeah. We can't do that.
We had it all set up, Dan, until you put the kibosh on it. So there.
Mr. Peanut was going to be here with the top hat, the glasses, the cane, everything. It was going to be awesome.
Mr. Peanut.
Yeah. I think it's the kibosh. That's a fine. You said kibosh. I mean, it's a dollar.
Should all the fines today go to ALS?
Stewie, I thought we had something.
I'm sorry, Tommy.
It's terrible.
No. What are you going to do to incentivize people to give money? Pies
TBD.
Is the big idea?
TBD on that, but I'm going to tell you this. Yeah, no, this is what I need someone's help with.
We've started the thon. Why TBD?
We'll figure it out as we go.
It's an all-day thing.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. Come on, don't worry about it. So here's the thing. Over in the other studio, we were setting up one of those giant thermometers so that you can kind of track the progress
see
as
how
it's
hot
going
it is
on.
In here?
Yeah, well, that too. But we set up one of those thermometers that they set up when you're doing fundraising. And then when you get to the top, you color it in all red. It's like, whoa. And then as it goes, people see the progress. And this is something that I hadn't considered. And Stu Gotts was kind of trying to walk me through this. The thermometer looked very phallic. And I felt like it wasn't appropriate for what we were doing.
A little distracting.
But I couldn't figure out how to solve that issue. You know what I mean?
There's no way to solve it. I told you that.
Yeah.
I mean,
so do we switch it up from a thermometer to something else? Because it looks like it looks like a wiener with
one. Well, why can't it be phallic?
Mr.
What's the
Peanut?
Problem with it being phallic?
But I don't know if it's appropriate for what we're doing.
I mean, for what we're doing with the level of planning that goes into throwing pies. And I thought you were going
to
get.
What do you want us to do?
I thought you were going to get a Mr. Penis, and what he was going to have to eat is 2,000.
Whoa, Dan.
2,000. Wow. That's right.
Jeez. It's a lot of penises. I mean,
a bag of bleeps.
That would take a long time.
That would be it, that would be how we could raise some money. Tommy eats 2,000 a bag of bleeps.
Well, I don't think that's what we're going to offer.
No, that's okay. Just another pies thing, then is what we're going to do.
Bag of bleeps.
Well, for now, pie. I mean, do you have another? I guess your idea.
You want to throw something else? I mean,
I don't have any better ideas, but this was not my idea. None of this. I'm happy to help, but I thought that we had a plan going forward. You're not sure whether I'm happy to help.
Right now, you're just kind of throwing stones. You know what I mean? We're trying to solve problems, and you're just pointing out problems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how is it that the problems haven't been solved before we started the thon?
We like to do things on the fly, Dan.
Yeah.
What problems are we having? We're like 3/4 to our goal. We are not even out there yet. We're going to be meeting people. We're going to be shaking babies, kissing hands.
We are.
Thanks, Chris. We've done an amazing job. We haven't even thrown a single pie at my face, Dan, and we have raised $30,000.
That's right.
If you bring your baby, Chris Cody will shake it. That is what we're promising you. If you bring a baby, he will kiss your hand and he will shake your
How's
baby.
How's this for a promise? Guys, gang, everybody listening at home and watching
it
at 9 a.m.
So
on a Thursday.
So hot.
What are we at right now?
The sweat on my shirt is distracting.
It's
going
to be a swampy thon. This is going to be a thwompy thom.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
It's so hot. It's unbelievable.
Guys, I have a proclamation, and I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but we're live, so no one can stop me.
All right.
Right now, we're at $31,320.10. If we get to $35,000 at 10 a.m., we're going to have a friend of the show come back who hasn't been on for a long time.
Wow.
10 a.m.
Are we allowed to are we allowed to know? Are you going to tell us?
Are you going
to
tell us who the person is? It'll be a surprise.
Surprise for
part
us.
Of our thon.
I don't
here.
Know if I'm allowed
somebody
to.
That people will like to hear
it's
from.
It's Tim Kirchin. If you get $35,000 by 10, Tim Kirchin's going to join. If not,
there goes the
I'm going to not bring him on.
They're not going
to. Wait, Billy, just so we're clear, you're saying if he does it, if we don't get to $35,000 by 10 a.m.,
you're canceling Tim Kirchin.
43 minutes from then.
No, he's going to be on hold in the Zoom. and I'm not going to explain why.
Wow.
Just like, oh, we're going to get to you in a second.
Just in the waiting room?
Until we
get to that amount of money?
It's not just that we're withholding him from you. We're going to waste his day until you guys free Tim Kirk. He's going to be our virtual prisoner.
Wow.
Tim Kirkchin will tell you why this is a personal cause to him.
If we get to 35,000.
As well, if we strong arm you, if we extort you into $35,000, because Baseball Stugatz has gotten behind these efforts of Tom and Boog Chomby, and now Tim Kirkchin has his own sad story to tell here. And so he is helping with the raising of money as well today. And he's, I think, our most popular guest of any kind. I think he has beaten Ron McGill. So he will join us in 45 minutes if you give Billy the amount of money he has requested, some of which might go to the air conditioning unit here at the Cleveland.
ACLS-a-thon, yeah.
Billy, it would have been nice if the Marlins left some runs in the bats. I mean, after yesterday.
Oh, my God. Jeez. They scored as many runs yesterday as they had the previous three series combined. 25 runs.
Not only did they score 25 runs, I meant to talk to you the other day. They had, because they scored 25 runs, Billy, but didn't you just have Jesus Sanchez? Didn't he just hit a ball 496 feet that went out of the park at 115 miles per hour? It's like the farthest ball ever hit as fast and as hard as ever. One has been hit?
Yes. They have, the Marlins have the two longest home runs in Coors Field history. Stanton and now Jesus Sanchez.
I didn't like the Stanton
one. That's weird.
Yeah. I didn't like the Stanton one. Because it went to like
you
center
didn't like
field.
It?
Yeah, no,
I never had that response to a home run before.
It didn't look like 504 feet to me. Because it went to like center field, but it only went like halfway up. Mm-hmm. I want a 500-foot ball to be pulled so that it's going over something. You know what I mean? Not just landing halfway through the bleachers.
Okay, put it on the poll. Is 500 feet to dead center less impressive than 496 feet to left?
You got to pull it,
out of the ballpark.
Yeah, you got to pull
it. Yeah, you got to pull
it.
It
looks
so much better.
It's more impressive not to pull it.
I understand, but it looks better. You know?
Yeah, it looks better if you pull it. Also, I feel like, and this is something that we haven't addressed yet, and no one wants this, but we're going to change baseball right now. I feel like if you hit it far enough in foul territory, it should count as a home run also.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Like there should be a home run wall in foul territory?
If you hit the ball, yes, a home run
wall. That's a
good
idea.
Because if you hit it 500 feet foul, that should count for something.
Sure. But how far each way? What are you thinking here? Like 5, 10 feet? Right?
450, like foul down the left.
I'm not going to tell you the distance unless we get to $40,000.
Wow, look at you.
Petty play.
Yeah.
Wait, so I'm thinking, like, does that mean you get a home run or a single? Like, if you hit a foul ball that goes 500 feet,
but
do you get a home run?
No, it hits the home run wall.
Extra walls, four walls, single wall, double wall, triple wall, home run wall.
Like that.
Are you willing to give like a 12th of a run or something? Like, don't be ridiculous.
Enough math in baseball.
Don't be ridiculous.
Enough. Get out of here. Ridiculous.
You could reach the show at any time at Lebatard Show. I wouldn't want to be ridiculous around this subject matter. As you, I still don't understand what the reward is for hitting a giant foul ball and the four walls that
you're home run. If it goes over the home run wall, distance TBD. If we get to $40,000 or triple, if it goes over the triple wall.
And so, but how are you building these walls? Are you just
how do you
building
build any
them?
Wall? I don't know.
One brick at a time. We don't
one
normally
brick at a time.
Who's
exactly
paying for the wall?
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Mexico.
Dan.
Oh, what?
Man. We're raising money today,
how about
man.
This?
So
how about this? Can we do a thing? Can we, because we sometimes have topics that will go on for a little bit, can we have a thing where we can kind of implement a number? If we get to this number, we will change the topic today? Okay. Just to raise money for ALS.
Change the topic or...
like if we started going down a Mexico wall path, we'd be like, guys, if we get $50 in the next like 30 seconds, we'll just move on.
I mean, do you want to open up? If you want to make it a telethon, we can open up a phone line just so that if we raise a certain amount of money, somebody can just call and insult me directly.
The phones don't work.
Yeah. I think they might work.
They're hooked up to the AC line.
Are you buying pies? Are you buying pies?
I'm sitting right here. How am I going to buy pies?
Well, but what are you doing? You came in here saying that you had some sort of plan to get the money up in the thon by buying or having people throw pies at you, and it was a half-baked idea, and you still
haven't... No, the pies will be baked.
They will be fully baked. Mm. And Dan, I've already sacrificed my face for this cause. I'm going to get a strike zone of pies. My face is the strike zone, and you're saying I'm not doing enough.
Are
Dan?
We still doing pies in the faces? I thought that was over.
It's
as
throwing,
it'll never be
like
over,
Bob
Dan.
Newhart.
It'll never be over.
It'll never be over as a comedic device. I just felt like we retired the pie in the face, like during Hee Haw, didn't we?
Did you have Bob Newhart as a prop comic?
Bob Newhart.
I'm talking about 70s comedy. I feel like the pie in the face is something nobody's done in 50 years.
What's back, Jack?
Stugatz, has pies ever left? Pies in the face. Have they ever left comedy?
They've never left, and they never will leave. I mean, why would you leave that behind? It's one of the staples of comedy.
I have an important update. The pies are on the way, I was told. Now, here's the question.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not lying. I got a text. It says the pies are on the way.
What is the
Kristen.
Best pie to throw?
Yeah, what kind of pies are we talking? Is this like a pecan pie? I feel like
just,
that would be.
I don't even feel
I
like
don't
it's,
think we
it's
can
just,
do that.
It's just whipped cream, right? It's not
nut
like if you throw a
yeah.
hard pie at someone's face, that's not funny.
Hmm.
All right, okay. So the idea is if every $2,130 we raise, one pie is thrown at my face, don't we have to have a starting point, Billy?
Like, that's another issue that we had.
Yeah, I'm glad beyond you guys met the, about all this
beyond
before
the phallic
this.
Thermometer is yeah. we need to kind of have the starting point for this so that we can add up 2130. So should we just start it right now? Right now we're at 31,560,13.
That's a lot of math.
No Tim Kirkchen at the moment, people, just you know, in case you're keeping score at home.
Mm.
So should we start right now at 31,560 and then just add 2130 to all of that?
It seems like a lot of carrying the twos in there.
Nah.
What if we start at 32,000 so it's a flat number so we can do the math?
A pie Fine. In the face was first seen in the 1909 silent film Mr. Flip starring Ben Turpin.
Oh, who could forget Ben Turpin?
Classic Turpin, yeah.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. More classic comedy bit, pie in the face or the banana peel. Slipping on the banana peel. I mean, I want to say these have been dead for 50 years. You guys are telling me these are Hall of Famers. You
yes.
guys are telling me that the pie in the face is a comedy Hall of Famer, that
yes.
it goes in the comedy Hall of Fame.
Look, we wanted to tie in with baseball. You throw the pie in the face.
Right.
I mean, you need to stop doing it as if it's anything successful over here. All it is over here is a failed idea.
I'm
it's
very
just,
sweaty.
Like it's like
how
it's,
so?
People will give us money because they are charitable and because they're very kind about being given. Tom has done very little to earn this in the planning of how it is he's incentivizing this.
I went and interviewed Dr. Benatar at the ALS Center and did this whole video. I patched this
wow.
thing together.
Chris Cody just brought in a comedy classic, which
Hall
is
Hall of Famer right here?
The Hall of Famer of removing a
yes.
kid's nose.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Staple.
If we get to 33,000, Chris will do another magic trick.
Yep. Horrifying a child by stealing his nose and moving it from one hand to the other. A comedy classic. The horror.
The Three Stooges.
The horrified child. Yes, it is. I believe that is a Hall of Famer. Yes, horrifying a child by making the child who has not yet had a mirror nearby thinking, oh my God, my crazy uncle has my nose in his hands.
Used to get me every time.
It would. I mean. And I'd grab it in my face, but you can still get me with that. I want to read something here because...
Wait, Dan, is that a coin behind your ear?
Yes.
Here we go.
Is the coin?
That's
coin,
magic, I feel like.
I don't feel like the coin behind the ear is as much as a Hall of Famer as the nose, the stealing of a child's nose, is it? It's the only... If anyone in our audience knows two magic tricks, those are the only two, correct?
Or the handkerchief disappearing in the hand, that's one.
What?
It is.
I can't tell you how to do it. I know how to do it, but
you do?
Well, don't give up the goods yet. Right
you know, for how many thousands of dollars will you bring out your handkerchief magic trick that none of us have seen?
What do you mean
seen?
There's a prop? It's magic. You don't need props for magic. Just do it now. Give people a little treat of what kind of magic
cannot,
they can be buying.
I know how that trick is done, but I can't do it today physically.
No.
All right, enough excuses.
Can't do it.
I got his nose. I got his nose and is not getting it back until we reach more money.
Wow.
All right, very good.
Chris is going to live without a nose forever.
You're playing hardball today, Billy.
Okay, Chris, it's okay. I'm sorry Billy did that to you.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah, and they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Don Le Batard.
Few things feel better than when you're on a roller coaster with no underwear.
Noted.
Try it.
A very weird observation by Stugatz.
You should try it. Don't knock it until you try it, Dano.
Stugatz!
You know what, Stugatz? I reconsider my position. I have not tried it, and so I won't knock it. Please explain to us in as much elaboration as you can why it's so wonderful to ride on a roller coaster with no underwear.
Well, you just get that incredible breeze that you can only get when you're high up on a roller coaster and it's about to go down. And when it goes down, oh, does it feel good? It's like air conditioning inside your shorts. It's amazing. Right? It really is.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Represented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
A tweet comes in, and you can reach the show at any point at Le Batard Show. I suppose at some point we will talk about the finals and we will talk about how Draymond says that no one's ever beaten them whole, ever. I guess that he's taking out his suspended game series, right? When he says no one, that when we're together
exactly
and we're healthy,
yes.
no one beats us. Do the advanced metrics, Tom, suggest to you that that there might be value here in the Celtics, in the Warriors overrating themselves?
No. When they're healthy, the big three are healthy. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Stephen Curry. They are the best team in basketball. And we've been waiting for Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson to be healthy, and here they are in the finals. They should absolutely be the favorites. Draymond Green is putting the attention on himself here, saying, when I'm healthy, we're unbeatable.
And he's not exactly wrong, right? Because we do remember that in the series that they did lose when he got suspended, he was the only one who showed up in Game 7 for them. He put up the 32-point game. I love what Draymond Green, the lane he occupies here as champion third piece. Like champion third piece who will give you, he'll give you two for six shooting, but he'll do all your beloved Horford things, some of them dirtier.
Yep, Al does him better. Draymond, listen, he's a great player, Dan. He's great for that team. He's a great fit. On any other team, Draymond Green is not this. He's not an NBA champion three times over, maybe a fourth. But on this team, he's a perfect fit for Steph and Klay.
Tom, you're our numbers guy. You lean heavy into the analytics. You said that a healthy Warriors team should be the favorite, and they are the betting favorite, but why does 538, another website that's reputed to be this big numbers site, they have the Celtics winning the NBA Finals as an 80% probability?
I don't know how that sausage gets made. I'm not in the 538 room, but what I can tell you is that's a lot of like in-season numbers are being projected in this finals matchup, and the Boston Celtics went on an incredible run in the second half of the year.
The last 2.5 months of the season, the Boston Celtics empirically were the best team in the sport for 2.5 months.
But this is a different Warriors team because they didn't have Steph, Klay, and Draymond healthy all season.
And those Celtics had Robert Williams healthy.
Right.
Those Celtics of 2.5 months had at the center of their core the best defensive player that they have on a team of great defensive players.
Right, and DraftKings had Robert Williams being the depoy favorite right before he got hurt at the end of the season, and then the voters were like, oh, we got to give the vote to someone on the Celtics, and that's how Marcus Smart gets depoy. Everything that you're seeing in that projection, Mike, is based off of regular season numbers, and this Warriors team weren't healthy this regular
season. Have the Warriors ever faced this switching of a good defense? Have they ever faced in any of these scenarios against any of these teams, if not the Celtics at their best? Because I do find it really hard to make some of these calculations, because I would have taken the Celtics healthy against anybody, Warriors included, but I think Robert Williams means that much to everything they do defensively.
Well, I appreciate the nuance that you're applying, that the Warriors' advanced numbers aren't necessarily legitimate because of all the injuries that they've had, but the Boston Celtics were not the team at the beginning of the season that they were after the midpoint. So can we just toss out some of those numbers too? Because they're obviously weighing down their metrics.
Yeah, I think the 538 is taking recency into account, is that they're looking primarily at the second half of the season. So I don't think they are including that first half. The other thing is, Marcus Smart's foot. He's been talking about. I don't know whether he's, you know, already building in the excuses here. I'd ask Stugatz what he thinks about Marcus Smart saying he shouldn't be walking. His ankle injury is that bad that he shouldn't be walking. Is he building up the excuses in case they get bounced?
Yeah, in case Steph burns him, because he's the depoy. He's the guy in charge of stopping or containing Steph Curry. And so he has laid the groundwork. Hey, if I don't do it, here is why. That's a heady play by Marcus Smart. Smart play.
I've never seen a big man close out from the paint on a corner three-point shooter the way I have with Time Lord on one knee. Time Lord, if you watch Game 7,
yeah,
he was not at all right. He was doing stuff on one leg. If he's at all right and he can close out on those shooters, I think we have a very competitive series because of the problems that Boston presents.
But how can he possibly be right, though? If he can't go in Game 7, what's 3 days going to do? You're right that he was deterring P.J. Tucker from shooting just because it feels like the Predator swooping in. From the middle of the court, he does things that we don't see, I don't think, anybody doing. Gobert doesn't do them. Nobody does that where he gets and he creates this web defense for them. But how can you possibly expect him to be that? He wasn't that, but for like 9 minutes in the whole last series.
He was getting worse as the series progressed. He really struggled early on with the playing every other day type of schedule. If you see this NBA Finals schedule, it actually leans into, I've never really seen a Finals
it's
this
weird,
long.
Right? Yeah.
There's a week from now, we're basically playing Game 3.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of time for treatment and rest. It actually plays to Boston because they're not nearly as healthy as Golden State.
But I think Boston's too far behind. They can't play catch-up. Like, they are so banged up right now, and they only had 2 days rest going into this Finals. And the Warriors are an up-tempo team. Draymond Green, as soon as he gets that rebound, he is gone. He is running this Boston Celtics team out of the gym. That's the goal, because the Boston Celtics do not have a good transition defense, and that is where the Warriors thrive. They want to run them out of the gym.
Everyone's telling me that the Warriors defense, though, is not going to force turnovers, and it's not going to force as many stops as I'm used to, that this is the worst Warriors defense in quite some time. Can you poke holes in that?
Well, I think a lot of that is Kevon Looney, Draymond Green, when they play together, they are an elite defense. But when you put Jordan Poole on the floor, that's where they can get exposed. And that's going to be the great, you know, chess match between these two coaches, Udoka and Kerr, to try to figure out how Kerr can keep Jordan Poole on the floor, because he's going to drop 30 if he can get 40 minutes.
I don't like what Steve Kerr said about Jordan Poole, where he said, hey, stop acting like you're Steph Curry. Stop playing like you're Steph Curry. He has permission to shoot wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And he said, Jordan, you don't. You haven't earned that yet. I don't like that before the NBA Finals. Like, I don't like a guy thinking. He's played so well that I think Jordan Poole has earned the right to shoot whenever he wants from wherever he wants. I don't like Steve Kerr planting that in his head, Tommy.
Stewie, the idea of knocking down a player's confidence going into the Finals, not happy about that. Jordan Poole carried this offense for long stretches of this season, and they are not where they are right now without Jordan Poole and carrying them when those moments where Steph was out and Clay
was guarding
out.
Tatum?
Wiggins primarily, right?
Wiggins will be guarding Tatum, and I think with the defense that the Golden State Warriors have, they're going to be able to contain Jason Tatum, but really they can't let the Marcus Smarts and the Jaylen Browns go off. They can't. Andrew Wiggins did a great job on Luka Doncic, and he's got another big one with Jason Tatum, forcing him into those long-range twos.
Is Clay the same defender as he was before the injury?
He's not, and you saw in the series last against the Mavericks, Klay Thompson is getting exploited. They are going to try to switch Klay Thompson onto the Luka Doncic, the Jason Tatums. He can be exploited defensively, as can Jordan Poole, but that's what the Warriors are dealing with.
I had not heard many questions about the Warriors' defense. The Warriors' defense is also supposed to be elite, though not as elite as Boston's the last 2.5 months of the season, when I told you they were dragging everybody. They led everybody at the half by 20 points. The changes to defense, when you talk about Klay Thompson being a liability, like, I want to understand this, because I've heard this expressed now a couple of different times. Klay Thompson, 3 years ago, before the injury, Charles Barkley said, best two-way player in the entire sport. Best two-way player in the entire sport. And now I'm hearing that since the injury, a liability defensively. Is that why they're weaker defensively than they have been?
I said it. Jordan Poole makes them weaker defensively. He is going to get hunted every time down the floor when he's on the court. The thing you're saying, though, Klay Thompson since the injury, it's two injuries. Achilles right. and ACL. The right. fact that he's even playing is a miracle. This would not happen if it was 50 years ago. He'd be done.
Before the injuries, he would be the guy likely to guard Tatum, right?
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins, well, Andre Wiggins Iguodala. Wasn't
on the roster.
Yeah.
So.
Andre Iguodala would be that guy, too, is a guy who can guard him, but Andre Iguodala is not healthy right now, so we'll see. But Klay Thompson doesn't have the lateral movement, Dan, that he once had because he tore his ACL and his Achilles, and his career should be over, but he's playing.
But I have not heard these questions of the Warriors' defense, though. I thought it was also an elite defense. With Klay as a liability or not?
It is. It's just not what it was with those two injuries that Klay suffered that directly impact his lateral movement. However, they do have a roster that they built out to kind of make up for a lesser day Klay on defense because they have Wiggins. They have Otto Porter. They have Andre Iguodala that we think is going to play. They have a lot of bodies and a lot of size that they could throw at Boston.
And the other thing here is, Mike, is that a lot of people are doing the whole switching defense, and that's a great way, if you're on offense, is to try to find the switch. Find the player who is going to be a liability defensively and get that switch. The Warriors don't do that. The Warriors don't switch. Okay, they actually fight through those screens so that you can't hunt for those switches where you can get Klay Thompson on an island or Jordan Poole on an island. So that worry is mitigated by the system that Steve Kerr has put in place.
We saw Udoka actually hunt Shrews the entire time in their half court sets. That you're saying that option's not on the table for them?
Yeah, the Warriors are going to try to fight through screens rather than switching. It's a definite worry for the Warriors that if Klay Thompson is switched on to Jason Tatum, yeah. that he is going to get cooked. And yeah. so they want to fight through the screens rather than switching and make those hunts available for them.
Good luck fighting through an Al Horford screen. I mean, seriously.
Can I have my nose back, Billy? I'm going to get lightheaded.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Can anyone fight through, or good luck fighting through an Al Horford
How
screen,
much luck?
Yes or no?
How much luck do you need to fight through an Al Horford screen?
That is not a good poll question.
It can't be done. So.
It's there is no amount of much.
So I can't get my nose back.
In time. Where's the money at?
There's a number on my nose?
I thought there was a number on whether or not you get your nose back, whether the funds had been raised so that we could continue our successful thon.
Okay, so right now we're at $32,295.20. Now, I could give Chris's nose back as a goodwill gesture and hope that we get more money.
No, you're saying not until $35,000.
Affecting my vision.
No, like, that's okay.
Well, that's for Kirkchen, and I'm getting a little worried because we have 22 minutes.
Well, then we'll hold Kirkchen. Then Kirkchen will not. I don't like this idea of strong-arming guests, but now we're here.
I'm not good at making threats.
You already made it, though.
I know, but it was too Several. Strong. Yeah, no, I'd like to issue an apology
for the threat.
No,
you can't. No, yeah. now.
So, Bill, classic
Should we just
Billy.
Get no. Kirkchen now?
No. No, that's the apology? Get Kirkchen early.
Yeah, should we get him early
because you came on too strong. No. Yeah.
Kirkchen, and the pie thing. I mean, with every $2,000, I guess we thought that we had a money tree that was just going to be throwing
not.
Pies our way. But, yes. So now should we just do a pie for fun?
Well, yeah, maybe we a Kickstarter pie where people see how awesome it is to throw a pie at my face.
I don't think we have the pies yet, though.
I just have my nose back?
Yeah.
You can't have your nose back until $35,000.
Oh. What? I'm literally dripping blood.
But Kirkchen can come on before.
And also Kirkchen cannot come on before $35,000. So Kirkchen will just wait in the waiting room. We have time with Kirkchen, plenty of time. But until that money gets up there, he will not be allowed. He will just be sitting there staring and waving at us. And you will keep Tim Kirkchen waiting. And you will keep Care and Cure for ALS waiting as well. So now we are threatening you. We're actively extorting you and threatening you in the name of charity. Somebody writes in here, though, Stugatz. You know the way you talk about Joe Rogan really does prove you haven't listened to his podcast enough or him enough. You're just so off. It's so unbecoming. So eager to show that others aren't inclusive or intelligent or progressive enough, yet you can't see your blind spot.
Is that guy?
You got me. I don't listen to Joe Rogan's podcast enough.
I don't either. I've never listened, but I don't talk about it either. So I don't know.
I used to. No, it's a fair criticism. I'm not actively studying that which alienates me.
And I can't see my blind spots.
And most of us cannot see our blind spots. To me, I think one of the funny things that's happening with Joe Rogan that you may not find funny is that I understand how he's arrived through his whole journey toward being a comedian that's genuinely confused when he gets COVID and Fox supports him and he thinks it's real support versus thinking that he's being used as a political tool, that he's taking it as real caring when he says, you know what's crazy? Fox really supported me during that difficult time. As if that there was a movement in America that was caring for Joe Rogan just because that's a good place to put the compassion and not because he's used it as a political tool. But I understand how a counterculture thinker, a guy who's always been a conspiracy theorist, a guy who uses a lot of drugs in the name of exploration, who is, if not a great comedian, sits at the table with the great comedians who have really made him and his podcast for the modern age the most popular thing. But I understand how a comedian arrives at a place where he never considered himself a political figure. I mean, we've been talking to Joe Rogan for 15 years about hyperbaric chambers and hallucinogens and all these mind expansion things. My guess is he never expected to be hijacked as a political tool. My guess is he's looking around like, what are you guys doing? I'm a UFC cage guy. I'm a comedian. Like, I'm not, like, what are you weaponizing me for? As he espouses some opinions that I, you know, obviously don't agree with. But never signed up for the responsibility of I get to be used as a political tool.
$200 and I'll make Dan get away from Joe Rogan talk. I mean, $200. I might donate it myself unless someone comes to the rescue.
This is a good place for me to threaten the audience, Billy. What did you say? You say if we get to a certain number, I'll stop talking about something?
Well, Stugatz said $200. So right now we're at $32,365.82. So if we get to $32,565.82... you can't talk about Joe Rogan anymore today.
But keep going,
Dan.
Yeah.
Well, but it'll take him that long to figure out how to use his phone correctly to make the donation. He's got all sorts of traps and bear traps meant to stop him from money leaving his wallet.
How'd you know?
I do think, can I close the loop on Joe Rogan? Because he made it into the news cycle yesterday because he came out and admitted, I'm not a conservative. But he did turn to the warm bosom of conservative allies. Like, no one here would label Johnny Depp a conservative, given his public campaigning and fundraising for stuff. But he has become a conservative icon with the House Judiciary Committee posting victory slogans. And it was not at all a surprise to see who would come to the celebrating aid of Johnny Depp after that that verdict yesterday.
I hate to be this naive, honestly, but is anyone else surprised by how every goddamn thing can be turned into a political weapon in this culture war? That Johnny Depp somehow becomes a victory for what? There is occasionally a woman who is not to be believed because there's a bunch of nuance and violence and disgust and abusive and toxic relationships that shouldn't be out. Like, I was made so profoundly sad for those two people that those details, that their love or whatever they thought was love once upon a time would get wrecked in such a way that they would hate each other so much as to disembowel each other publicly with shame after shame. I felt terrible for those people, but didn't see an angle where it would be turned, where Johnny Depp would be political hero by arguing on behalf of, well, the man can be abused too. The aggrieved white man can be abused too.
Yeah, he became a conservative icon overnight.
That's unbelievable to me.
It's super disingenuous, but it was also super predictable. And it's a bummer that the Believe All Women movement just took a massive hit, because they'll always have those who oppose that movement that don't want to, that are inherently not believing women, will always hold up the Johnny Depp verdict, as opposed to just looking at it is for what it is, a single case study.
But can I be publicly confused by every goddamn thing? Not just masks, just anything. Anything that happens, we can turn into, let me figure out a way to fight about this. There are sides, and there's a box I'm supposed to be checking so that I can be on my side. Because I think one of the things that Bill Maher and Joe Rogan and whatever it is that your old comedians do that ages poorly, I think one of the things that happens there is they're trying to grab this construct, all of it, and be like, can we stop moving this far away from what used to be me having the power to do whatever the hell I wanted to do?
Right. I want to be able to laugh when Chris Rock makes the joke, believe all women, except for Amber Heard. I think that that's the place where stand-up comedians are trying to actively operate in, and they don't want people to just check out on a punchline before you've even gotten there.
Dan, I have some news. The Rogan book is closed for the day. Okay, it's over. I love closing a book. I mean, it's my favorite part of the book.
You love never opening a book. Are we done? It's done. The money is in now. I can stop talking about Rogan.
No, you have to stop.
I can get my.
I have to stop talking about.
We're $100 away from you having to stop talking about comedians. So $100.
Okay.
Brady contract. The Brady contract's next.
Okay.
Which one?
Let's do it this
any
way.
Any Brady contract?
I'm for the idea of punishing the audience this way.
Very quickly. We're at 32,762.
Comedians done?
Yeah.
What's the benchmark that we have to put a Aqib Tlaib talk at? Because I'll donate.
I hear a lot of people saying I'll donate without actually donating around here.
Chris gave his nose for the
cause. Got a lot
I'm
of
going
people,
to a baseball game.
Why are you looking at me?
Equal sacrifice.
Are we still going to be raising money at the baseball game? When does this end? When does this
thon end?
I'm
never going to stop raising money for this cause.
That's right, Mike. You will sit through how many innings today?
Don't count on any, but
what?
I'll be at the bar.
Mm-hmm. A bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please no pictures.
You're going to be hiding from people. You're actively turning going to a baseball game into a punishment. You're going to be hiding in one of the parking lots.
Just wait from a distance.
Eating churrasco on a stick.
I'll just be drinking.
That's it.
So when was the last? So when was the last time you went to a baseball game and watched it? You
and watched and sat down and watched.
Sat down and watched
Detroit. Detroit. I went to.
Oh, so recently.
I wanted to see. Yeah, that's a good ballpark, and I enjoyed the novelty of it. And I drank from a beer bed, and I was rooting for Miguel Cabrera because there was actually somebody on the field that I had a connection to. This, I don't really have any of a connection to it outside of you being my friend and me wanting to support this cause. So I'll be there. Just don't touch me.
Was the game before that, the first game at Marlins Park? You and I went to that game.
No,
Dan went to a big Heat game. You and I said it was the biggest sporting event in the history of South Florida. I was wrong. Dan went to the right event. I think it was OKC and the Heat,
I think I've been to Lone Depot Park 4 times. I watched a game, the first game ever there. I sat in my seat and actually watched the game. Every other time, I've just been at the bar, and a game has happened around me. And I told Samson this, that apparently, one of the games I went to, somebody hit for the cycle, and I found out afterwards.
I feel like that's the allure of baseball, though. Like, you can take your kids to the game. You don't have to watch every pitch, whereas if you go to a basketball game, it's really intense. Like, football, there's some breaks here, but baseball does feel like a leisurely sport.
I like the lights at Marlins Park. I went there to watch the Bucks-Celtics game, and they did this light show in the distance. I'm like, hey, that's cool. Now turn down that racket.
Is the ballpark going to have air conditioning? Can we figure that out?
Yeah,
it has AC. So. Yeah, it's an
it's very swampy.
The roof
in here.
It's going to be closed.
Do we know when we're getting this fixed? Is there any word from the Clevelander, from anyone on when it is? Because I love the idea that this live thon that we're doing, and I'm going to take a break here in a second, Mike, because I need to go get a mop for my face and a towel, that we're raising money in this thon, hundreds of dollars at a time. Tens of dollars at a time, threatening the audience while sweating here, doing a live show we normally wouldn't do on Thursday.
I just broke it to a sizable chunk of our show that we're getting hit by a named storm this weekend.
A hurricane?
No.
I don't think it's going to be
a hurricane. I think it's going to be a depression.
Yeah.
No, hurricane season has already started earlier than ever.
No, I know, but it has to.
How much to get me to stop talking about climate change, Billy? How much is hurricane season?
Book is closed. Who's telling you about this storm? Is it Phil Farrow? He's got a podcast now where he scares the daylights out of everyone.
That's true.
I mean, this guy sends you to Publix.
Has a podcast.
Yeah.
Just the weather terrorist. Whether or not.
It's a great name. I'm jealous.
Brilliant.
Is the Saban Jimbo Fisher thing done because Saban and Jimbo Fisher say that it's done?
It's never done.
I must admit, and I went at. I had to go at Nick Saban. A lot of people did, including Jimbo Fisher. Nick Saban has walked this all the way back. He broke the code. He broke the honor amongst thieves, and he has apologized as much as he is capable of apologizing. Nick Saban has. It was a real regrettable moment for him because he shined a light on his own, his program's own, I guess you could say, infractions, but under the radar infractions, because it gave everybody license to go at him.
Does anyone understand the mistake?
That seems like a real amateur mistake from your CEO.
Understand why he did it or how he could make that kind of mistake?
If you're Nick Saban, champion CEO, and you are threatened now, because I've told you before, all these guys are control freaks, all of them, and there is an absence of control once you get the players getting this much power, and Lane Kiffin is throwing his hands up and saying, hey, no matter how good a recruiter you are or a coach, nothing beats money. Right. Because now we're in the money game, and Nick Saban is publicly, weirdly threatened in a way that that guy's made some public mistakes at a microphone. He hasn't made one that has required this profuse an apology. And it seems like for a guy who doesn't like distractions, interesting to anyone listening to this who cares about sports. Hey, what are the roots of the mistake that Nick just made? Because he's like, that's a really amateur mistake, Stugatz, to name one program, the one guy that you know will come back over the top at you and like, hey, I know all your shit, man. Like, why? And then to get him to back down, tail between his legs before the SEC media day because Jimbo Fisher spanked him into a corner. Like, how does that mistake get made?
He named two names, two schools. Dion was the other.
No, he named Miami, too.
He named Miami.
He named
right.
Miami basketball. Oh,
so I think what Nick, if I had to guess what Nick was doing, it was a calculated mistake. He knew what he was doing was wrong, but he was also sending a message to the people at Alabama. Hey, if you want me to compete at the level I've been competing at, that's how Jimbo's doing it. That's how Miami's doing it. Someone needs to step up and give us some cash.
So it's not a mistake?
Oh, it's a mistake because he apologized for it. And if you want to go to the seeds of it, I think it's ultimately narcissism. He has built this great dynasty. He has operated sanction-free, attention-free from the NCAA.
Somehow clean in a land of cheaters, right. Beating even the cheaters and nothing on Alabama.
Every cutthroat move that I'm not going to say Saban made because there is, if I didn't see anything, I don't know anything type of deal when it comes to college football. But that program is Teflon. And it worked himself into a place where he actually thought he can get the NCAA to do his bidding. So when I see him make that mistake, I was just, my jaw dropped because how do you not know how the sausage is made? How are you lacking in this much self-awareness? And then I realized, oh, because he's a narcissist, because he's earned being a narcissist. But it is a bad misstep.
But Mike, you don't think he's sending a message to Alabama fans? Like,
oh,
hey,
he is.
Let's
That's
go.
What Lane is doing every time. Every time Lane says it's about money, Lane might as well have that phallic thermometer right next to him because he's just trying to fundraise.
Do you guys understand that it can be narcissism? And I understand how Nick Saban would come by every ounce of earned ego that he has. But, and it happens to anyone who's aging, Stugatz, when you're perpetually competing against not just younger people, but general evolution. Old man gets got is something that happens no matter how much of a champion CEO you are. This thing has shifted so fast on him that he acted either emotionally or some other way in something that can only be described as a mistake when you're a guy who doesn't apologize for much of anything and rarely has to. And he sucked the air out of SEC Media Day. And even Jimbo's like, I'm done with it. I'm moving on. But it's also with the threat. Go ahead, Nick, say it again. Say it again. Like, I'm done now, but go ahead, Nick. Say it somewhere else to somebody else and see if I'm not right there chipping at your ass because we're all cheating out here.
It's a big example, too, because if Nick Saban can't survive the blowback that he has to walk it back, it sends a message to everybody else. You're not going to bring this into light. Right now, we're operating Wild West, and NIL has given us a license to do things that we had to do in the shadows that could have gotten our programs in big trouble. You're not going to talk about this. You're not going to highlight everybody else. But I will say, while the book seems closed now, it's going to reopen October 8th when those two programs get together.
I just don't think college...
Put the kids to bed? I mean...
I want to be there for that game.
I don't think I've ever cared about a story in college sports more. The idea that these guys would tear each other's face off as soon as the money appears for the players. Like, that the whole construct of all of it would come falling tattered in shreds because we all see how professional and ridiculous it is.
$100 to move on, $200 you could stay right here, okay? That's up to you,
Dana. Well, where are we?
Pasco?
Where are we?
Listen,
I need to. I'm going to go get a towel and see how damp it is when I'm done.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.